ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
The show's namesake, BJ Shea, is on assignment. And probably until next year because, yeah, this is the last podcast. But running the boards is Joey D's.
What?
Wednesday.
It's the last Wednesday.
It's last Wednesday. But on today's show, it's still action-packed. We're going to be talking about, Dungeons & Dragons, including the new release of Strixhaven and the holiday one-shots that are out there. Mm. There's a lot of them. We will be talking about Disney Plus's Hawkeye episode. I think this is like 4 or something like that. I don't know. It's one of them. And we'll also be going down the movies that we haven't been able to talk about. We won't be able to talk about because it'll be holiday time, but you'll be wanting to watch them. And of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com.
Check.com.
It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or just search for BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, and the Odyssey app.
Lots of ways to do all of those fun things. And, you know, it is that holiday time, and you might have a little bit of downtime. You might have Christmas vacation, whether it be at school or, doing your job. Fortunately for us, we have basically like 2 weeks off. And in between playing video games, you might want to be getting into a little bit of the old Dungeons & Dragons. And it might be something that you might ask for Christmas. And the big thing that is dropping, and it has dropped, is Dungeons & Dragons presents a rollicking campus adventure for the world's greatest role-playing game with Strixhaven, a curriculum of chaos. Now, this was originally a magic set, was it not?
Okay, I thought I recognized it. Yeah, Strixhaven was it was the schools, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. It's kind of like, it's Harry Potter Hogwarts sort of like mixture world into its own magic setting. Obviously, since Wizards of the Coast runs both Dungeons & Dragons and Magic the Gathering, there has been commingling in the past with a lot of source books that deal with that. And now this book has a multi-year campaign set in it. So you can start at level 1 and go through the curriculum of going to a school for magic users. Yes, the players will begin as first-year students who study, socialize, and adventure their way to graduation while professors impart fantastical secrets, but danger lurks. Campus hijinks mixed with mishaps and sinister plots make it up for you to save the day. A magical adventure awaits, but in the meantime, they have a bunch of resources that can help, including like, there's a whole bunch of stuff. If you go to the Dragon Talk episodes with Greg Tito, there's a couple of them that talk about that as well. You can buy it. It comes different covers, especially if you're going to your local gaming store. They might get them special fancy-ass covers. And that one does absolutely look beautiful as well. You can check it all out. And it's one of those ones where if you maybe want to get somebody into playing playing Dungeons & Dragons, this is a good way to start it off. Because you can be like, well, it's kind of like Harry Potter, what they're setting up with this. So a lot of people are familiar with that. And then you can start as level 1. The whole book has an entire campaign that goes all the way, I think, to level 10. So it's a good way to get somebody interested in the game and see if they're worthwhile or into that sort of thing. Now, if you are a seasoned Dungeons & Dragons player and maybe you want to do something a little bit holiday-themed, there's a lot of stuff out there that you can do because, seriously, if you just Google D&D holiday one-shots, and a one-shot is basically just kind of a one-time adventure where either you just make characters for this or maybe there's pre-generated characters that come out with it. We recently had in my normal Tuesday D&D group, a group of people, one of our players couldn't make it. And we were trying to figure out what to do. And so the dungeon master was like, I've got this thing, make a character that it's holiday themed, but don't feel that you're necessarily bound to making a character like that. And I'm like, well, no, I got a character that'll fit perfectly for this, so we're gonna play with this. So 4 of us got together, and we're currently in the middle of running this session where we've been transported to the North Pole for Giftsmas, where we have to find Santa's naughty list.
Okay, all
because.
Right.
if you because if it's the day before, it's Christmas Eve, and in just 3 short hours, he's going to have to go take flight to deliver presents to all of the, normally it would be the good girls and boys, but without the naughty list, he just has to give presents to everybody. And what's so bad about that? Well, we don't have the supplies in order to give everybody a gift. So we need that naughty list. And so we're right now currently running through that, which includes a essentially kind of like a deer humanoid named Woodolph, who is the blacksmith and the creator of weapons.
Does he have a red nose?
He does have a red nose, nice. Which may or may not shoot magic missiles from it.
Oh.
We've got Mrs. Claus, who is more of a cat hybrid. So Claus, C-L-A-W-S, I really feel with that. And we have yet to meet Santa yet, so I don't know if he's a cat person yet or not. But so far, it's been fun. Everybody kind of went holiday theme with it. I played a bard who basically makes his money going from town to town, talking about the whichever holiday is it's going on for that town. He's the one who's like, oh yeah, so I'll do the presents for you guys, and I'm the spokesperson of Santa or whomever or whatever religion or whatever holiday you speak for it. He goes about that. We've got a bugbear warrior named Holly, and even a tabaxi, which is a cat, a rogue named Felix Navidad.
Gah.
So yeah.
I see what you have done there.
Yeah, so we're having a lot of fun with that. And like seriously, when I look up D&D holiday one-shots, there's one called Claws for Concern, Christmas is Coming, D&D for the Holidays. There's a bunch of free adventures that are out there. A lot of people just wanted to put something out. There's one called Gingerbread and Dragons. That's a holiday one-shot for all ages, Once Upon a Winter's Eve. There's a bunch out there. A lot of them are on DMsGuild.com, which is handy, and a lot of them are free. So you can just find something that's really fun. And again, it's another one of those things that maybe the family's home and you're trying to figure out something to do. This is something you can get the whole family involved, spend a little bit of time, do something, and sometimes it's a little bit better than just a board game. Moving on from that, we do need to talk about Hawkeye. Hawkeye episode
4?
4? I think so. It's a 6-episode series. Yeah, episode 4. And I really, really enjoy this show. I know, Joe, you haven't watched any of it yet.
I have not, but spoil away.
And, you know, you'll probably forget it by the time you get down to it. But if you haven't seen it, it's based, gosh, I feel it's based pretty heavily on the Matt Fraction, I think, 2012-2015 series. And we've talked about it a bunch of times, and this episode was fantastic. I was really excited. I love the chemistry between Clint Barton and Kate Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Haley and Jeremy are just fantastic. Like, just the back and forth with them is just really good. And it's a very complex story based in the holidays. It's essentially like kind of like what Die Hard would be in terms of a Christmas show. And so this 6-episode limited series, I'm enjoying all of it. Vicky, how do you feel about it?
I'm really digging it so far. It's one of those shows, though, I'm at the point, maybe it's because it's the end of the year, I'm like, I just want to binge everything. Like, I wish it was all out at once so I can watch what's happening next. And a lot of the things, because we all are huge nerds, especially Marvel nerds, we have pretty much kept up to date with every single Marvel movie and Easter egg and everything. So we kind of knew what was going to happen in this show at some point, and we finally got it in this episode.
Yes. And it was one of those big ones just in terms of it. We've talked previously about just like what could be, what could possibly be, what would tie in, especially with like the Kingpin stuff that the rumors are going around. But this one showed a character which makes sense if you've seen Black Widow.
Yes, and you saw the after credit scenes.
Yeah, exactly.
So funny enough, the outfit that she was wearing, spoiler, I feel like it's been over a week, because we're on to the new episode. We can kind of talk about it. Mm-hmm. But the outfit she was wearing and everything when she was fighting, if you guys know anything about X-23, because I'm obsessed, X-23 made her very first appearance in an animated show called X-Men Evolution back in like 2004, and I know this because I was 14.
Oh, wow, okay.
And the character was 14. Like, X-23 was 14.
It's me!
And when she made her first appearance, she was wearing a suit almost exactly like that. So even though I knew it was not X-23, my brain was like, oh, how awesome would that be? I knew it wasn't. And it wasn't even like, but could it be? No, I was very aware that it 100% was not. But I had that little like, heh.
Maybe. No, okay, I knew it wasn't.
but I had a lot. It was a lot of fun. You see all the heartbreak that Clint is going through with everything and how he does want to, like, he likes Kate. Like, he does like having, like, another buddy because, you know, obviously his best friend is no longer with us. And she mm-hmm. sacrificed herself when he felt like it should have been him because of all the wrongs he did as Ronan.
Yeah.
So he's finally being able to open up and connect with another human being, which is Kate. And it's kind of cute to see, but then the reality hits him. Like, he is a dad. He knows what he would feel like if something were to happen to his kids, like they did in the blip.
Yeah.
He lost them. And having her mother plea, like, hey.
Please, please don't let her go out and do these things. And
it's like, you've lost people. I've lost people.
But the mother doesn't know just how deeply involved with this whole Ronan shenanigans is really going down, because Maya is not going to give up the fact that Ronan killed her father, and she's on basically a death crusade to either kill Ronan or die trying.
Mm-hmm.
And so even with him trying to talk with her, you know, her right hand man, the whisperer in her ear, like, you just realize it's just not gonna happen. But then at that point, Kate is in direct harm's way, and he's just like, I promise to keep her safe. Not that she's not going to get in the middle of all this stuff, because they still need to figure some things out. And there's a bunch of different, like, kind of subplots that are going along with this as well that I seem to start tying in, because the big sort of kind of trying to figure out and try to move the story along is that there was, in the auction, there was the sword
mm-hmm.
that we see that Ronan Jack has.
Sword.
Yeah, Ronan's sword. But there was also a Rolex watch. And that is...
He said it belonged to a friend. Did it belong to Ronan? Or did it belong to somebody else from the Avengers?
And a lot of people are speculating maybe that it was like a secret piece of like Stark tech or something like that in a watch. And I feel like, and I've been watching some TikToks from one of our favorites, Straw Hat Goofy,
yep.
who has speculated that it might be just a little bit more mundane than you might imagine. It just... would connect everybody into the into recognizing Clint as possibly being Ronan and kind of outing him.
And kind of like a plot device to kind of get him or her into Maya's apartment.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, and so, I could see that too.
Yeah, and so they had to go and retrieve that. And that was when they found out it was Maya's apartment. And then Kate's getting her ass kicked by Maya. At the same time, Clint is fighting someone else in that costume, which turns out to be a Black Widow assassin, which we know as Yelena Belova, which is the quote-unquote sister of Natasha. And
at the very end of Black Widow, we see her like... at Natasha's grave being, you know, talked to by one of her bosses.
Yeah, Princess Contessa, Banana Fofesca, if you...
Banana Hammock, Fofana.
If you watch Animaniacs, you know what we're talking about there. But yeah, Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character, which also met up with John...
Walker?
Yes, John Walker. It was always an alcohol, and I was trying to remember which one. I was like, it's not Fireball. John Walker is a U.S. agent, was hired that way as well.
She's creating her own Avengers team, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave this information to, is it Yelena or
Yelena?
Yelena.
Yelena.
Anywho.
Yeah,
He said, she told her, like, oh, this is who killed your sister,
mm-hmm.
which... I feel like nobody actually knows what happened based on like what even Kate Bishop's mom said. Like, things happen. Like, they think that Black Widow died in battle.
Yeah.
Nobody has talked about her sacrifice.
Because there's only one other person there who saw exactly what went down.
Right. And I mean, obviously all the Avengers, you got Hulk and, you know, Captain America and Iron Man aren't around anymore, but everyone else was there when he told them the news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not like nobody knows,
yeah.
but he's the only one that's been really carrying that because It's a lot.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see the episode that drops today, which is episode 5, the penultimate episode, and then we've got one more after that. So I imagine that, and a lot of people are saying that episode 5 and 6 will quote-unquote break the internet. We'll see what happens with that. But when we come back from our extended Christmas slash holiday vacation, we will be talking about that, so let us know how you feel about it.
And one quick thing I did find out, actually, wegotthiscover.com. Everyone talked about, why is it that Natasha didn't get this grandiose funeral just like Tony did? And this might actually tie into why nobody knows what she actually did. And it was because Scarlett actually talked about it. It's like her character would have hated a public funeral, like big to do. The fact that she was buried in a very private place in the middle of nowhere, like, which I think was back in like her quote unquote hometown, mm-hmm. her fake hometown, but her hometown, that's more her. And that would have been perfect, which makes a lot of sense. So I think that's also part of it. And I think it's also the fact that Clint is holding on to that much guilt. That's why he's not correcting people. It's like she died to protect you guys. Yeah. She didn't die like in battle. I mean, if she died in battle, it would have been protecting. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, she died in a little battle between her and Hawkeye. But yeah.
Like, she legit sacrificed herself for all of the universe.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Now, if you're waiting to watch that, just go watch it. Another thing that, since we're not going to be here to talk about a lot of the movies that are coming out, there's some major movies that are hitting up this holiday season that it's a gentle reminder of, you've got lots of stuff to do. Y'all out there, you have some homework, because we do as well. There are some major movies that are dropping as quickly as 2 days from now on the 17th. The big one, obviously mixing in with what we're talking about, Spider-Man No Way Home, with Tom Holland, Zendaya, Benedict Cumberbatch, Jon Favreau, J.K. Simmons, Marissa Tomei, Willem Dafoe, Jamie Foxx, Alfred Molina, Jacob Batalon, Tony Ravioli? Yeah, no. But this is going to be one of the biggest ones out there. If you haven't already gotten your pre-order tickets, you're probably SOL. Don't know for sure. I'll probably be watching at some point. Like, I'll definitely be watching it. Just imagine there's going to be a billion spoilers if you don't watch it immediately. And I don't know if you can stay off the internet that long, but it does drop this Friday, December 17th. So be ready for all of that. Now, next up after that is an interesting movie, because it's directed by Guillermo del Toro, and it's called Nightmare Alley. It's Brad Cooper, Cate Blanchett, Willem Dafoe again, Rooney Mara, Toni Collette, Richard Jenkins, Ron Perlman, and David Strathairn. And it's Guillermo del Toro looks to be gunning for another Oscar, this time with his stylish noir psychological thriller Nightmare Alley. The film is an adaptation of the 1946 novel of the same name, and it boasts a cast that is stacked from top to bottom. Like we said, it's 1940s set, and it tells the story of Stan Carlyle, a con man who has a gift for manipulation. But when he hooks up with a psychiatrist named Lilith in a grander scheme, he soon learns that she's more dangerous and manipulative than he could have ever imagined. Now, I know it's kind of maybe not totally a geeky type thing, but it's also directed by Guillermo del Toro, who is known for his fantastic visuals. I don't imagine a Pan's Labyrinth type, but you know what? You can't count it out until you watch the damn movie. Next up is the big one. The biggest one. The most biggest one. I mean, Spider-Man's big, but this one's even bigger, at least for me. The Matrix Resurrections. The Matrix Resurrections.
Okay.
Yeah, no, Revolutions was the third one.
I know, everything's getting me so thrown off, because everyone's bringing up like, hey, check out these pictures for the Revolutions, and then Resolutions, and then Reincarnation. I don't know. It's throwing me off.
It's Resurrections, and it releases Wednesday, a week from now, December 22nd. Keanu Reeves, Carrie Ann Moss, Jada Pinkett Smith, Neil Patrick Harris, Christina Ricci. I didn't know she was in this. Priyanka Chopra, and a whole lot more. Over 20 years ago, The Matrix was released and blew the world away, and now they're coming back. Now Neo Trinity and the rest return for Resurrections. We don't really necessarily know a whole lot about the plot, other than the last trailer just dropped, and it seems that there is going to be another all-out war. I have a feeling that it's going to be something along the line, and pure speculation, so don't even quote me on this one. I feel it's going to be kind of a Neo story flipped to Trinity. It really seemed to push that in the last trailer. And I feel along the lines of, like, even if after a while that the Matrix is continuing on because they've brokered kind of a peace between humans and machines. The one thing that I've noticed is that they haven't recognized is the programs. Like, the programs will go rogue, and you saw that a lot in the second one, and they established that sometimes they just go and they go away and they try to hide out because they don't want to be deleted either. So I feel that that might be another one involved with that. We'll have to see how the agents are involved with all of this. I feel that when we talked about like the Wheel of Time, it's like it's a reimagining of the books. I feel this is another reimagining of a loop because we've already had the Matrixes like seven other times previous to the original trilogy movies. And so I feel that this is going to be another, or I mean, reboot's the perfect name, the perfect way to put it, because it's all based on computers and stuff. So I'm kind of excited for this one.
Yeah, looks like we're going to get the Trinity storyline. That threw me for a loop. I was not expecting that.
I wasn't expecting that either. So I'm kind of, I'm very intrigued to see where they're going with it.
Yeah, definitely.
And we also have The King's Man, which is a prequel to The Kingsman, which had Taron Egerton
Taron Egerton.
Yeah, there we go, that guy. And so this has been the prequel, and the director of the first movie, Matthew Vaughn, is back into the saddle to tell the story about how the Kingsman Intelligence Agency came to be, taking place against the backdrop of World War I, the world's worst tyrants and criminal masterminds plot to destroy the world, and it's up to one man to stop them, with a little help. So it'll be The Kingsman, the prequel, and then you don't have to really worry so much about the mess that was the sequel with Channing Tatum for like a minute and a half, right?
Yeah, the prequel looks a lot better.
Yeah. And then finally, for the kids, if you enjoyed Sing, well, you can watch Sing 2.
Also has Taron Egerton in it.
Does it really?
Yeah,
yeah,
he's
Johnny, right there.
He's Johnny the Gorilla. Sing 1 is one of my all-time up there favorite animated movies. It is so fun, so rewatchable. It makes me cry every time. Seriously, go watch it. I had to buy it.
Really?
I bought it on DVD, and then I bought it again on Amazon Prime.
Wow.
Just so I can have it.
Yeah, and again, in addition to Taron, there's Matthew McConaughey in it, Reese Witherspoon, Scarlett Johansson, Tori Kelly, Nick Kroll, Bobby Cannavale, Halsey, Farrell, Williams, and Letitia Wright. Lots of voices in this, and it's about animated animals that sing that Vicky apparently really, really loves.
I mean, the second one is about like being a part, like trying to get like an exclusive, like a reclusive rock star to come out and join him for a new opening show. The first movie, if you haven't seen it, is about Buster Moon, who's this little koala voiced by Matthew McConaughey, who has like him and his father like saved up all this money to get this theater. Like, he loved the theater since he was a little boy, and his father washed cars, and they got him the theater, but he's been putting out show after show after show that was just garbage.
Oh, no.
And had no money left, so he couldn't even pay the crew from the last show. So he's like, I need to put out one big show.
Oh, yeah, right.
To do it. And so he's like, let's do a singing competition. And all hell breaks loose when his Mrs. Crawley, who's his little old lady assistant, messes up the flyer, and instead of $1,000 prize, it was like $100,000 or something ridiculous. Money they don't have.
Yeah.
So of course everyone shows up, and he has to kind of like, we need to make this big, and trying to find investors. And it's really sweet and cute because each character has a different reason to why they're singing and wanting to be a part of this competition. Like Reese Witherspoon's character, she's a mama pig and has like 20 children. And all she does, she's a stay-at-home mom taking care of all her babies, but she loved to sing and no one took her seriously. Charlotte Johansson's character? Charlotte. I've been watching a lot of Charlotte Dupree reaction videos on Facebook lately, that's why. Scarlett Johansson is a porcupine. She's a rock singer, guitarist.
Oh, that's Scarlett? That's funny. I've seen the trailer for this one, yeah.
And so she was in the last movie, she had a boyfriend, they were a duo, and he didn't make it in the competition. She thought it was not beneath her, but she's like, I'm not going to sell out. I just need this money so I can start my own recording studio and we can make real music, like the rock music. But then he dumps her because, you know, that's what happens, you know, and she finds her own vibe. Like she mixes.
Okay, nice.
Like,
wow. Yeah.
It's really, really awesome. Just all these different characters. Same with Johnny. If you have daddy issues, like there's a thing with Johnny and his dad at the end where it's like he's proud of him. And
okay. Oh, man. So, yeah.
You're warned.
Yeah.
You are warned.
Thank you for the warning. And,
but seriously, I know we talked about this in a previous podcast, but I did say for a Christmas gift, I will watch a movie that I've never seen before that you recommend.
Mm-hmm.
And I could maybe pick one for you.
Okay, is it going to be Sing?
I was going to say Emperor's New Groove, but now I kind of want you to see Sing.
Well, you decide, you figure it out, and we'll argue about this.
Via Facebook Messenger at some other time.
Exactly, because now it is time for...
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
All right, Vicky, it's the last Geek Sheet of 2021.
Oh my goodness!
The last Wednesday.
Of the BJ Shays Geek Nation.
Exactly, yep.
And because we're not going to be here, I'm going to kind of piggyback on what you were talking about earlier about all the movies that are coming out in the next couple of weeks that we're not going to be here to talk about.
Exactly. And what we'll be doing also is, like, when we come back, we'll run down some of the movies that obviously I talked about and you did too. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to give us some feedback, please let us know the movies that you saw over this Christmas break and, you know, and let us know how you feel about them, because we will be discussing them and then also the ending of all the shows and everything that went down during this time.
And I'm going to talk about not necessarily the same movies you did. It's just a few other ones that you may have not heard of or aren't going to be like super big in the spotlight, because there's a few big ones that are taking all the spotlight.
Yes.
But one that I don't know of, but this movie came out in 1995 and they're re-releasing it.
Oh.
It is called Macross Plus.
Okay. So, yeah. So
it's an anime.
Okay. It is the anime. And I remember... Was this the one with, like, the flying mech suits and stuff like that?
It looks like it. It says, in the year 2040 on the distant planet Eden, former childhood friends Isamu and Guld find themselves pitted against each other as test pilots of rival teams in a competition to decide the next generation of variable mecha fighters.
Oh,
and the
two
must also deal with their own unresolved history with a mutual love interest. Who has returned as the manager of Sharon Apple, the AI pop, the AI pop star, which is a Virtroid, and the galaxy's biggest singing sensation. And when Sharon's advanced artificial intelligence gains consciousness, they must face their turbulent past and come together as they take on this AI that becomes self-aware.
And just the fact that you can you'd be able to go see this in a theater is kind of fantastic.
My favorite part about anime is my friend told me, he goes, if you just want to describe any anime in the dark, just say it's a bunch of high schoolers in a normal high school somehow end up saving the world.
And there's probably a mech suit and a love interest.
You're not really wrong there.
And it's weird for me to think. So this came out in 95. This is based in the year 2040. We're in the year what?
Wow.
We're about to hit
2022. So in 18 years, apparently, we will have giant mechs, and we will be occupying far-reaching space and going to planets, named Eden?
Yeah, move over, Miley Cyrus. You are no longer it. We now have AI pop singers.
Well, that makes sense.
So if you're into anime, especially anime in the 90s, because it very much has that art vibe to it.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely worth checking out. It says it's through Fathom Events, so probably go through there to find them.
And most of the time, those are I think those are just the Regal events, and it's usually like a one night or maybe like a very limited showing on those. So definitely check that out and see if that's something you want to head up.
Another movie you probably haven't heard of, and at first I was like, no, this isn't going to be in our wheelhouse, but I noticed that the genre says mystery and thriller, and it's called The Novice. It's got 95% on Rotten Tomatoes as of now.
Oh.
So basically, it's a college freshman joins her university's rowing team and undertakes an obsessive physical and psychological journey to make it to the top varsity boat, no matter the cost. This is very much giving me Black Swan vibes.
And then she saves the world.
Oh, yeah.
Or she goes...
anime. It's live action. Sorry.
Yeah, she might go a little nutty. I don't know. But that's the way they film. I'm looking at the images and stuff. It looks very, gray and blue tones. You can tell a lot of it's going to be in her head.
Yeah, if you're not looking for something uplifting for the holiday season...
Some people don't like it. Some people just can't stand, the sugar plum kind of... Gooey, googie,
This is not
sugary. This is not. So if you're not into the holiday stuff, this might be it. Another one that was kind of in that same vibe where I'm like, is this really going to be a sci-fi or, nerdy movie?
Mm-hmm.
But it has a phenomenal actor in it. So I was like, of course I want to look into this. What is this? It's called Swan Song.
Black Swan Song?
Wait, I was going to say,
we were just talking about that, right?
No, the other one's called The Novice. That one has a Black Swan vibe just from, briefly looking it over without trying to get into too much spoilery detail. This one has Mahershala Ali, and it looks like it's an Apple original movie.
Oh.
It's very, Sunshine of the Spotless Mind vibe.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, I think that is. Yeah, the Jim Carrey movie about memory stuff.
With Rachel, Why am I linking on her name? No. Titanic lady. Kate Winslet.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Oh. I almost said Rachel Weisz, but that's not right.
Rachel Weisz.
So in the near future, Cameron, who is Mahershala Ali, is diagnosed with a terminal illness, presented with an experimental solution to shield his wife and son from grief. He grapples with altering their fate and this exploration of love, loss, and sacrifice.
Ooh, that is interesting. Like, if you could clone yourself, but is it really you?
But they, like, I didn't want to look into it without spoiling it or anything like mm-hmm. that, because I might accidentally spoil it. But the vibe I got from it was it's an experimental solution to shield them from loss. My thought was it erases their memory of him.
Oh.
That was my thought. I don't know what the movie's going to show, what it is, if I'm right or wrong. Maybe I'm right. Maybe you're right. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, this has some interesting actors in it. You did say Mahershala Ali, mm-hmm. but Awkwafina's in it as well.
Glenn Close plays his doctor. Naomi Harris. It looks like it's going to be pretty awesome. And like I said, it's an Apple original film. So if you have Apple TV or that, definitely check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Another one. So it's a drama sci-fi. And I love it because the main character, and he's the character, I'm assuming he's the main character because he's the one on the poster. He doesn't even have an image on IMDb. Like, this is his first ever anything.
Wow.
His name is Khalifa Touré. He plays a character named Cal. And so what this movie is about, it's called Last Words. It's 2085. A young man, one of the few survivors of the human community of old, embarks on a long voyage to find others. So it's a post-apocalyptic world, very few survivors, and he's going on a journey to see if there's any other survivors back in 2085.
Wow. Right. Well, at least that's a little bit more in the future than the last one.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
This has an all-star cast of Nick Nolte.
Whoa.
Stellan Skarsgård, who was, you know, the doctor in Thor.
That's right.
The scientist. And that's why, like, I love it when you have all these really great actors and then you have, like, a new guy. And it looks like, according to the poster, it's gotten a couple awards or... It's competed in the Festival Duval back in 2020. Was it Cannes?
Cannes
Festival.
Cannes Film Festival.
It was in the Cannes Festival. So definitely would be worth checking out if that is your jam.
Yeah.
And then one last one, and I'm going to say this wrong. I'm okay with it. This movie came out last year, but I think they're based on Rotten Tomatoes giving me the cast and crew and then looking at it IMDb. I think they're releasing it in English.
Oh, okay.
With English dubs, and it's a fantasy anime adventure, Poupelle of Chimney Town. And it has
excuse me?
Poupelle, Poupelle of Chimney Town.
All right.
And it has very much like not quite, like maybe old school, I'm blanking on his name, the one that did Kiki's Delivery Service.
Oh, the Studio Ghibli stuff?
It has a Studio Ghibli vibe to it, maybe a little older, not any of their newer stuff. But it's a story of young Libichi living among thick smoke from the chimneys of his isolated town, yearning to see the stars, to know the truth. His father always told him about. So one Halloween night, he meets Poupelle, a man made of garbage, and together they look at the sky as their adventure begins.
Aww.
And in the American, because if you go to IMDb, it's going to give you the Japanese cast. So their voice cast, I should say. In the English cast, we have Tony Hale. Stephen Root, Misty Lee.
Oh, wow.
Hasan Minhaj, comedian. I freaking adore him. But Tony Hale, I really, really love because he's been in a lot of animated stuff recently. So he was in Harley Quinn. He's Dr. Psycho in Harley Quinn. He's also in the show I really, really love, Crossing Swords. He plays Blarney. He's the clown brother.
Yeah.
Which, side note, Crossing Swords getting another, it's within the next couple weeks, I think, a new season 2. So go check that out on Hulu.
This looks amazing.
This looks really cute.
Yeah, it looks beautiful too. It's that beautiful animation, like you did talk about, like Studio Ghibli, and it's just super colorful. Definitely Christmassy vibe. And
even though it's going to be Halloween time, but it's very sweet looking.
Mm-hmm,
for
absolutely,
sure.
100% on so that one.
If you got the littles, I definitely would check out.
Yeah.
Why not?
Exactly.
And Crossing Swords season 2 is going to be out.
And not for the littles.
That is not for the littles.
I mean, it looks fun, and as long as it's muted, maybe.
Oh, what? It came out last week?
Oh, did it?
Yes.
All right.
What am I doing with my life? Okay, I'm leaving now.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Happy holidays!
Happy holidays, everyone!
We'll see you next year. And until next time, stay nerdy.